Got my recorder going as well. All right, good afternoon, everyone. We are in Hernando County. It is December the 18th. It is currently 2:58, and we are apparently right on time. And we're hearing petition 211. Okay, so petitioner, please introduce yourself for the record.
Catherine Fleischer.
All right, thank you. Property Appraiser's Office.
Freddie Blackburn.
Sam Gomez.
And Stephen Esham, Special Magistrate. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, so for petition 211, I have a petitioner name noted from the agenda of Chris and Catherine Fleischer.
Yes.
And I have a parcel ID noted from the petition form of R35-423-207167-40-0160. Petitioner, have you read the opening comments of value, the overview of that process, taxpayer's information sheet? Do you have any questions about how the process works?
The proceedings process?
No. Okay. Well, if you do have any questions, don't hesitate. I've done thousands of these. So don't hesitate. I handle 12 counties.
Oh, Lord have
it's
mercy.
It's pretty much full time. During tax season, this is what I do full time.
Yeah.
When I'm not saving the world. Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. What is our just assessed and taxable, please?
Just value is $353,987. Assessed value, $336,936.
Mm-hmm.
Taxable value, $286,936.
Was there any change since trim?
No, sir.
Single-family residence?
Yes, sir.
Heated square feet and year built, please?
Yes, sir. Year built 2019. Living area is 2,229.
Thank you.
Three-bedroom, two-bath.
Thank you. And I have a package from the property appraiser's office. Did you get a copy? Did you request that in writing from them?
I did, yes.
Did they give it to you? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And the petitioner has a couple of pages. Was that submitted timely?
An email with two pages on an email.
Sure. And there's nothing different here, right?
Is
there anything different from what you
more,
submitted to them?
No, there's not different. There's not different comps or evidence. Just more analysis that I wrote out. I didn't know if I didn't realize that we had to submit the whole thought process. I thought it was just these are the comps that we're going to use.
Well,
Does that make sense?
It's two pages. You have the time to read it. So if they were to object and you were to read your page and a half, it would then be admissible.
Okay. Yeah, so it's basically what I'm going
to
say today.
If you want to object, you're just going to read it. So.
Yeah, you have to read it.
Yeah, okay. All right. You want to look at it and see if you have any objections?
If she's going to read it.
The reality is then it is on the record. It's only two, if it was 20 pages, that might be different.
Yeah.
But at two pages, you know.
Depending on the comps and stuff, I just don't get the time to research it sometimes. That's all.
Yeah, it's the
same comps. The comps are the same as what I submitted. I just did a little bit more number analysis. I'm working full-time, going to school full-time, and mommying full-time in the pandemic. So I just didn't get it finished.
Believe me, I get it.
We're all doing it, exactly.
So essentially what I said was I added some analysis.
I don't have the two pages email at the moment. The two page email. Wait, stop a second. Stop.
Yeah.
The two page email would be admissible. I don't actually have a copy of it right now. Okay, sure. Thank you. Once again, you can testify to that. If you were to read it, then it would be admissible. So.
Right.
But you haven't. It's not your turn to present yet. So I'm not going to have you read it now. Because the property appraiser is going to present support for their assessment. So the petitioner package is considered admissible, and the property appraiser's package is admissible, and the property appraiser's office, please support your assessment. They present first. That is the recommendation from the Department of Revenue.
Yeah.
This is a single-family, single-story block home with stucco lap siding. It consists of 2,229 square feet of living area. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath, sitting on 4.8 acres, zoned PDP-RUR. Of that 4.8 acres, 2.2 acres is considered part of McClelland Lake, leaving 2.6 of usable acres in a sense. The subject property was last reviewed on March 2020, and the appraiser found the home to be of average quality and good condition. The PA uses adjusted square foot when comparing properties. The subject's home has 3,098 adjusted square foot and currently has a market rate of $106 per adjusted square foot. The appraiser completed research within a 9-mile radius of the subject and reported sales which best reflect the subject property. The comparable sell prices less feature values divided by their adjusted square foot indicated comparable sales range from $102 to $125 per adjusted square foot. After adjusting the differences between the subject property and the comparable sales, deducting cost of sale, the comparable sales range from $87 to $126 per adjusted square foot. The petitioner falls within this range. As you can see, comparable one heated square foot is 2,407. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. Comp two is a 2,202 or 2,202. Heated living, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and so on. Going a little bit more in depth going on these comparables 1 through 5, there's not a lot of new-built homes of the rural area, so some we had to extend our effective date trying to select homes built in the 2000s. The property appraiser's office has considered all criteria relevant to the Florida Statute 193.01, with the greatest emphasis being placed on the cost approach to value due to the property's age, location, and surrounding sales data.
So is this the only one that you primarily did cost on? All the rest were sales, right?
We did that. We're basing most of our weight on, yes, sir, is the cost approach.
But the other ones we did today, like 68?
They were all based all the weight was given on the sales approach.
Okay.
But I have a sales approach in front of us, obviously.
Yeah.
In the sales approach, you know, we indicated a market value, the median at 104, the petitioner's at 106, so they're real close as far as the market.
The 2019 year sale 5 is a 2019 year built. Why isn't that the best one? I mean, it is $122 a square foot, I believe, is your price.
I believe that the miles away, it's 9 miles away. Oh, okay. And none of these are the property's location is a unique property. It's almost borders into Dade City. The shopping centers aren't close to it.
Yeah, 5 is going to be right off Cortez, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's much more convenient. Okay. All right. Never mind then.
So, again, I'm.
So 1 and 2 are the closest.
So pages 4 through 6 is the subject's property. Pages 7 through 28 are the comparable subject's properties, property PRC cards. Page 29.
How far away is the access to I-75?
You would have to go, I would imagine the closest way is to go to Spring Lake Highway and go south on, I call it.
How long did it take you to drive to 75?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Thank you. And how long did it take you to drive to Brooksville?
Well, what part of Brooksville? We're going to go grocery shopping?
Sure.
Yeah, if we're going to go grocery shopping, it's about 20, 25 minutes to get to the Publix in Brooksville.
Okay.
But there's also a Winn-Dixie out at 75 that might be a little closer.
No, I'm getting how long I wanted the distance to Brooksville.
Okay.
And then obviously the distance to the highway because that gives access to like everywhere. So.
Right.
Just getting an idea how good or bad the location is. It may actually be superior to comps 1 and 2 because the subject probably is closer to 75. Maybe it's about the same time wise. Not sure. Anyway, go ahead.
On page 29, you see the cost approach. Putting in line item $31, mm-hmm, are the yard improvements. And then we also put our land value in on line item 33. So that would indicate line item 34 indicating a value of $419,236. On page 31, there's a mortgage that was taken out on a property in 2018. Again, I would imagine for a construction loan. And the
$427,500.
Yes, sir. And then afterwards, I guess they refinanced or got a, and that was for $430,000. And yeah, $430,000 was the mortgage.
I don't have any further questions.
Oh, no, I just, and the rest of this, as before in previous packets, is the adjusted square foot legal. And,
Additional, please support the chair recess. I mean, the reality is, you got to assess at 353. You saw your mortgages.
So my argument there is.
You know, I mean, it looks like you know, and the sales numbers. He's at $106 a square foot. The first two of them are very near you. They sold for $110 and $112, and they're older than you are. So I'm wondering why his numbers were inappropriate if it's appropriate in relation to the mortgages and the two closest sales.
So the mortgage is something called, and I don't fully understand this. This is what was explained to me when we were trying to get a mortgage, which wasn't easy to do for this.
Okay.
Is what they call a portfolio loan, meaning since they don't have an intent to sell it, they have a little bit more leniency with how they determine things.
Okay. All right. That just means they're going to keep it in-house,
exactly.
Which means they, for whatever reason, they like you guys.
Yes, they see us as a good risk. They were the second mortgage company that our builder sent us to because the first one couldn't do what we needed.
What kind of rate did you get? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. So on the first one, it was 4.125, which was not great for the time, but it was construction loan that they were taking a risk on. And then the second one... when we refied, it was 3%. Again, not the greatest, but better than what we had. I should say not the greatest for what other people were getting at that time.
Oh, shoot. 3 is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with 3. Yeah. If I could have gotten
I don't have anything in the 3. Well, maybe I have some of the 3s. Anyway.
Yeah, if I could have gotten a more conventional refi, it would have been 2.5. But, you know, they're taking a risk. We're a good risk to take from a bank standpoint. So I had a couple of concerns. One, it's hard to bring the mortgage into the conversation because I don't have photos of the property before, but when we bought the home, it was essentially 5 acres of Florida woods.
Well, the reason you bring it is relevant to bring the mortgage into the consideration is because the bank is loaning you money.
Right.
They are doing a risk analysis and they are considering whether or not this asset that the loan to you is covered by the asset in case there's a problem.
Absolutely.
Thus, they had an appraisal. You could have actually brought the appraisal in. It's a new appraisal.
Oh yeah, I don't.
No, but you could have. You paid for it, so they would give it to you if you asked them. They have to, because you paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they're the clients, but they would give it to you. So they pulled comps. They did an appraisal. It supported the number. And that's why it's relevant, essentially.
Right. So that is all stuff that I understand. The other part to consider is what was being wrapped into the mortgage is that there was extensive cost for lot prep. And that's not something that you recoup in a sale. You don't recoup lot prep in a sales price.
Yeah, sure you do.
Not to the tune of $60,000 or $70,000. I'm not going to recoup the fact that I had to take
Well, there's no guarantee. You can pay too much. Anybody can pay too much or get a good deal and pay too little. I mean, but the reality is when you're constructing any property anywhere, there is site prep cost. This is a normal cost.
It's a normal cost, but not to the degree that it was on our property. Additionally, we had to dig two wells on our property. So it was just additional cost after additional cost that we had to wrap into all of this.
Okay.
And so it's not as simple as looking at a cookie cutter subdivision house, which I think they've already acknowledged that we do have a little bit of a unique home. And the other concern that I have is when they're doing their cost analysis breakdown, I just don't, it doesn't seem to me that it's, I think when you look at a total statistical analysis, which they put in their evidence, it's going to fall, it may fall within the standard deviation, but when you're looking at a home that's almost half unfinished square footage, I don't believe that their adjusted square footage factor cost.
I'm not gonna run my numbers based on something. I run it on, I like the appraiser, the appraisal you paid for. I'm gonna do my analysis starting and focusing on the heated square footage, not the adjusted.
Okay, so
and then
yes.
you add in a discounted amount of money for the other square footage. The property appraiser essentially, their automated systems does that essentially. It's just all baked into the numbers. The problem is when the property appraiser is using adjusted square footage, it's kind of a black box. I don't know how they did it, and it's given to me in a form that I can't unpack. That's why appraisers don't do it that way. That's why fee appraisers don't do it that way.
So, and that's ultimately the biggest concern is that they, and I know it, this is oversimplifying things, there, it is a black box. There's no consistent way for me as a consumer to say, okay, what is going on? How is this being calculated? Because when I look at, for one, we definitely did not expect when we were building the property value to be that high when we were figuring out tax stuff. We had a conservative number in our head, but when you look at, say, even the house that's the closest to our house right across the street in our same neighborhood, it's a bigger home. It has more bathrooms, and it's appraised at significantly less than ours, and it's great quality. You know, a lot of it's very similar, if not better than our home. The only true difference is we have more unfinished square feet. So I did my calculations based on just looking strictly at, okay, what's the total square footage and what of the you know, when they break it down by features and cost of the building, what are they paying? What are they paying per square foot? Or no, I'm sorry, not paying. What is their market value, not assessed?
Well,
or
so you're talking about the assessment of one other property in your neighborhood.
That's what got me looking into it.
Okay, because here's my point. You're here because you think your property is assessed inappropriately. I'm not going to have the data to determine whether the property across the street from you is or is not assessed appropriately. As a matter of fact, if you know they're doing hundreds of thousands of appraisals every single year, there's going to be a certain number of them that are assessed inappropriately. Yours might be one of them. That one across the street might be one of them. They might both be assessed appropriately. The only one that I'm going to have data on is this one. So, you know, unless the only way to, it's very, where I'm going at, is it's very, very hard to prove what your property is worth based on looking at assessments, or to prove that the property appraiser is being biased against you, i.e. they're appraising you differently than the other properties, without doing an exhaustive statistical sampling. Generally speaking, nobody gives enough information to actually do that study. It's a very difficult study to do. The easiest way to prove what your property is worth is to get an appraisal. You actually have an appraisal. You didn't bring it, but you do have one. If you had gotten that and brought it here, that would be, you know, probably every bit as good, possibly better than what the property appraiser has brought me. But you didn't bring that. So you can talk about your assessment, but I can tell you, unless you have looked at, I don't know, let's just say the nearest, you know, 50 or 100 properties like yours in the area, I can tell you right now the sample is going to be too small. That's the problem.
So, and I can respect that. My concern is why is the onus here for me to do that analysis when they're also only showing 4 properties, but the onus is not also
they brought me sales. You could have brought me sales.
Oh, I have
these
sales.
These aren't assessments. These are sales.
I have sales as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, we were just talking about assessment studies.
Yeah, so looking at
doing assessment studies, it's really, really hard because something important gets forgotten every time. So it's just a very, very difficult road to follow.
Right. So, and I mean, so your initial question to me that kind of started us down this path was, what made me think that it was overassessed?
Right.
So I was trying to walk through my my methodology. So what started me thinking it? Well, the fact that the guy across the street has a bigger house with more, you know, more bathrooms, more stuff like that. And I'm being assessed, like, I can't remember, I have it in here, like $40,000 more than him on my building part of my market analysis.
Okay.
So that's what started me down. And just because in general, I had done some pretty extensive research before we started the whole build process to say, what do we think we're looking at tax-wise? Because we came from Pasco where taxes were getting insane. So we wanted to make sure we knew what we were in for. So it just, it came up much higher than we had expected it to in the first place. So my other question is, you had mentioned, so they had mentioned they did the cost approach with ours, and you seemed a little bit surprised by that. And like I said, this is all new to me. I've never gone through this before.
There's three approaches to value: cost, sales, and income. Income is generally inappropriate for single-family residences because they're not typically bought and sold for income-producing purposes.
Right.
That's becoming more common these days. There are some really big companies that do just nothing but rent them. But nonetheless, it's still not a good way to appraise homes. So it's sales and cost. The only time you really rely upon cost tends to be when the homes are very new. This one is very new.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, still most of the time they rely on sales approach. So it is the property appraiser is giving me both. When I'm waiting this, I will probably put at least 50% on the sales. They didn't have a bunch of new sales. That's probably why they like the cost a bit more. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not incorrect. I do like sales. I have two sales very, very near you. They seem to support your assessment. They're older than you. The base area is, one of them is bigger, one of them is smaller, but the dollar per square foot. And they're pulling out the features, which I probably will put back in when I do my numbers. But it's interesting that they're doing that. I'll have to think about that. I've never seen anybody else do that. Not necessarily wrong. It's just interesting. But either way, they sold $110, $112 a square foot. They're about 3 miles away from you. Seem to be, you know, pretty far away. You know, similar access to town, similar access to 75. And they sold in mid to early 19. Once again, $110 to $112 per square foot. You're assessed at this is adjusted again. I guess I can't figure it out until I take out the adjusted. I won't be able to figure it out.
But, okay, so you won't be going off the adjusted because that whole process.
No. I'm gonna do everything based on the heated, and then I'll add in value for those other features.
Okay.
That's the way most everybody else does it outside of the computer model. The CAMA system does it this way.
Right.
But when they're defended in the hearing room, I don't think I've seen anybody else do this in the hearing rooms, which is fine. I mean, everybody has every county has their own differences on some things. But I will unpack it and I'll do it. I'll do it on base area.
And then I think
But these are old. But my point was that these were older homes. They're about the same size as you are. They sold for $315,000 and $390,000. And they are year built. Where the hell's the darn year built? They're 2006 and 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Year 2019. Plus, there's some upward adjustment between the sale dates in April and June and December 31st or January 1st of 2020. Because things did go up a couple of percent.
Okay. So
they seem to support your value. Just looking at the numbers and doing the math in my head, mm-hmm. they seem to support the assessment just on base area.
So two things that you mentioned is kind of the proximity to things, and it wasn't something that I thought of to include here, but if that's part of the consideration, something to also consider is, so we're not right next to getting on I-75, but we are right next to I-75. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you're sitting out in the back of our property, you're hearing I-75.
Okay.
So there's, if they're 3 miles away, then they don't have that.
Yeah, they don't have the highway noise.
So the other piece that I apologize, I got lost in that. So Marlon's house across the street, that was the one that got me kind of going on things because just strictly looking at what is the market value they have on the home, not looking at any reductions for Save Our Home or this or that. They are $8.78 per square foot lower than us when you divide that market value of the structure by the entire square footage, and that's including the unfinished square footage. I know you said you're starting with under heat and air, and I think ultimately I think my main argument here is, as they mentioned, it's a rural property. It's very hard to find comps on in the first place, and when you're looking at our unfinished square foot, what we essentially did was we built a humongous garage for my husband. It's like 1,100 square feet for the garage. But all of the other unfinished square footage is just big patios, big front patio, big back patio. So if that's kind of being considered as part of that square footage calculation, to me, it's not really appropriate. And well, from what I could read, it was.
It's beyond my authority to, and beyond what the county's paying for me to do here. So I don't want to go too far down this road. If the intent is that, you know, to have the property appraiser fix something in their system, my job begins and ends with, is the assessment on this property correct? So you're talking about, you know, their adjusted methodology might be flawed.
Yes.
Right. And it might be. But it's beyond my authority to fix that. Okay. But it is my authority is to, you know, you defend to me why you think your property is should be assessed lower based on some sort of data, mm-hmm. as opposed to they did it wrong, and because we're not going to fix their system here today.
No, but it's still a question that needs to be asked.
I wouldn't even know if
it's
broken or not. We just, you know, that is beyond my authority and beyond what we have time for.
yes, no, but the question, I think it's still an important question to raise is, so how are you, when all you're looking at is unfinished square footage, and my unfinished square footage is garage plus, you know, just this massive back porch that we have.
Well, I mean, I can tell you in general how the computer systems do it, and property appraiser, you can correct me if you do it differently.
I think it's in our packet how we adjust the
square. Yeah, well, and you know, they put a certain, you know, dollar per square foot or percentage of whatever the full base area is. They apply a certain percentage to that or dollar per square foot for the various components, and then they add it all up.
Right.
So, you know, did and you know. If those percentages are correct, or if those dollar per square foot are correct, it all works great.
Right.
And when they're wrong, it does not.
Right.
So, did I cover that, paraphrase that pretty well?
Sounded good.
All right. So,
yeah, so,
you know, which is why most fee appraisers don't do it that way. We'll look at your garage, and we'll say you have an 1,100 square foot garage. Okay. So, certain people, buyers, will pay the certain amount of money for the first two spaces.
Right.
Pay a certain another amount of money for that third space. You know, they're going to pay a lot less for the fourth or fifth one if you have four or five. But, you know, and that's something the CAM system would probably miss, by the way.
And that's my concern.
But that is not something that I would miss.
Okay. And so, and that's what I want.
I'm not doing a computerized system of hundreds of thousands. Right now I'm doing one.
Right. And that's what I would like to see considered, because it seems like a massive garage, right? But really, it's still got a two-car door on it. Which was a whole nother issue when we were trying to get the refinance, because they didn't recognize it as they recognized it as a two-car garage, because if it has a two-car door, it's a two-car garage. So
yeah, your the appraiser that came out there wouldn't be fooled.
I'm sorry?
The appraiser that came out there that looked at your property and did a full appraiser would not be fooled by that. He would count that as like workshop space.
Right. Oh, are you talking about for the property appraiser or for the mortgage?
For the mortgage. But yeah, the appraiser.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't fooled by that.
No, the first appraiser for our mortgage was terrible, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, a good appraiser would be.
Yes, that's a key word right there. I'm still trying to get my money back on the first one.
Okay.
So essentially it's a 1,100 square foot garage, but it's a piggyback garage.
I get it. No,
so
I,
that
I
my
get
husband
it.
Can back his boat in, right?
Okay.
So it's not necessarily you can't line up and line three cars next to each other. So all things just to take into account there.
Sure.
And the other part that I was looking at, again, like has been stated a couple of times on both sides, it's a difficult house to find comps on, right? So what I did to find market value comps, I went to our old friend Zillow, which sometimes is great and sometimes is terrible, right? And I
went to who? I'm sorry.
Zillow.
Oh, Zillow. Okay.
Which is terrible for looking at what they estimate, but it at least gives you an easy way to search for market value.
Actually, it depends on your neighborhood and your location. Zillow does a good job in areas that are cookie cutter.
Exactly.
It does a terrible job in areas that are really much not.
Exactly. And I mean, I think they have my house at $87,000. So good. It's not.
It shouldn't be good at you. I would not think it would be good at you.
But it's a good tool to
maybe
use.
Good in, maybe pretty decent in the biggest, maybe in Brooksville, there's some areas
yes.
where they can do okay.
Yeah, maybe like Southern Hills or something like that. But what I did use it for was to give a radius, a date range, and beds, bathrooms, and lot size to find comparable sales within the last year and a half.
Okay.
So I use that to find sales within the area, and I apologize, I can't remember the radius. I had to keep changing it because I just couldn't find homes that were super close to mine. So the ones that I submitted, what they don't have that I added in just to make it a little bit clearer to understand is a table that just has the same information that I presented, just in an easier way to consume. So
so you've got... You gave me 1, 2, 3, 4 homes. You have not added any homes.
I have not added. I haven't changed any.
So why don't you show me your
yep.
show me your grid.
One of the homes is ours.
Two of the homes are sales that I defined.
So you are requesting this be put on the record?
Yes.
All right. So the petitioner is requesting that the sales data that she already gave you, she's added a, and the only thing you've added is a grid. You actually have some text here as well. Have you read the text?
Oh no, I didn't read the text. The top part they already have, because this is the email.
I see that. Yeah, the top part. The top part is the same. So this page one, this is exactly the same. Good morning.
But it was just calculations. It wasn't even collecting.
Well, here, I'll give you this back because you haven't read it yet. Go ahead. Do your reading.
Okay. So I would argue that this clearly shows that the methodology the property appraiser uses is not suitable on a property as ours that is almost half unfinished area, both garage and covered porches. This is most clearly illustrated when comparing to the house directly across the street that is actually larger in both finished and overall square footage and has an additional bathroom. Not only is their value per square foot significantly lower than ours, 8.78, their overall market value is lower than ours by $22,049. With the comps we submitted, there is a range of, and I'm talking the market value here, there is a range of $549 to $1,192 lower value per square foot than our property. I would contend that the home directly across the street from us is the best comp to use since it is in the same neighborhood. Using an equivalent price per square foot, even though they have a bigger home and more rooms, this would place our building market value, so just that component, at $238,108, a reduction of $37,033, placing the overall property value at $315,953. Then we would retain the port of our Save Our Homes reduction, which was $17,051, putting the overall assessed value at
$298,902. Okay. So go ahead. Your question, that you put on the record.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You can bring it back.
Oh, okay.
If you're requesting to be put on the record. The petitioner has, you did not supply full parcel cards for these sales?
No, I didn't really.
Okay. The property appraiser, did you supply them in your package in the rebuttal or anything? If you didn't, that's fine. I wasn't expecting you to, but
no,
I don't
sir.
Have them.
No, sir. Other than 4152 Nancy Creek is cell 5 in our PA package.
Okay, all right. So I do have full data on that one then. I guess my point is,
I'm
you
sorry.
Do have some, you
also,
have some
4244 Bessemer Road is cell 4 in the PA. Second packet. I'm sorry. I got a second packet here,
okay.
But that's in the middle.
But Oaks and Savannah are not. Savannah Oaks, the two Savannah Oaks ones are not.
Well, one of the Savannah Oaks ones is my house.
Okay.
Right. I put it in there to clarify.
Sure. Which one are you? You're 810?
No. It should say subject property. 810 is the one across the street.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Okay. 827. Okay. All right. So I have full data on 3 of the 4. So the only questionable part here is you did add some analysis that you got from on the finished versus unfinished on the one property. And if the property appraiser is objecting to that, nobody has checked it and we do not have the data to check it.
Right.
So if you do want to object to that one, that would be sustained. Beyond that, everything else we already have. So it's, you know, it'll be admissible because we already have all this data. You know, this is just like a different format of data we already got. Do you want to object to the last one?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's the only one piece, you know. Okay. So, with no objection from either party, it's considered admissible.
Okay.
So, anything else?
I did have a question when they mentioned the yard improvements. What were those?
Yard improvements,
It was like $59,000, I think.
Site improvements like porches, patios, that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or site improvements?
Give me one second. I apologize.
That's fine. And that is on their grid, you mean? On that grid?
No, that was in the, I think it was called CoreLogic page.
Oh, yeah, on the cost grid.
Your yard improvement should be listed on page 30, if I'm not mistaken. But let me verify.
Yard improvements, $59,000. Interesting.
Yeah, it has a number, but it doesn't say what improvements. And I asked because we didn't do any landscaping or anything. All we did was put seed out for
no, ground. It's usually... No, this is... The Marshall and Swift doesn't usually cover that unless somebody puts in landscaping, you know, separately.
Right.
Typically speaking, that is, could be sprinklers, it could be sidewalks, it could be paving stones, it could be your driveway,
swimming
things like
pool,
that.
Swimming pool.
You know, I normally call these extra feature values or site improvements. I don't normally call them yard improvements.
Yeah, that's what was throwing me off. I was like, well, I didn't do anything in my yard.
So I can put them under miscellaneous instead or something.
I mean, that's just, it's not normally seen under yard improvements, but, you know, I mean.
My apologies.
It's in the yard.
My apologies.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in the yard, right?
Right, exactly.
The whole thing, just put the whole thing under yard improvement. We'll be good.
Yeah, that threw me the first time I saw it a little bit, too. But, you know, it's fine, as long as we know what it is.
Okay, so.
Do you have a pool, I take it?
Yes, I do have a pool. So then, hold on, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand it. So then the yard improvements on line 31, is that what's broken down on the next page where it says paving concrete with base, paving flagstone, pool gunite? Is that that? Oh, yeah, it does line up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense then.
There you go.
Okay.
Mystery solved.
Yes, it just didn't indicate, hey, go down here to find it.
Anything else?
No, I think that was it.
Rebuttal? Property appraisal?
No, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I've got my homework on this one. I mean, the reality is you're just looking – I mean, well, I'll go over the data in more detail, but it does look like the property appraiser's got fairly solid data. I have not gone over yours in great detail. I need to look at the data based on base area and rerun the calculations. But unless there's something wrong in the black box, like I don't, you know.
Right.
I'm not going to – I don't actually have the time to read a lot to go – it's hard. Figuring out the black box and understanding it in vast detail is probably something that I really don't have the time to do it that way. So I have to do it the other way. But unless there's a flaw in the black box, then it's probably going to be supported. Just, you know, looking at the numbers roughly, it doesn't look like they're, you know, wildly off. So, you're only thinking of $35,000. You're thinking of a 10% difference, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's what it amounts to in total.
So, but, you know, that's a, so I'll sharpen the pencil, I'll run the numbers, go over the information in greater detail, and make my determination at that time. And that concludes petition 211. Thank you very much, everyone.